at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with the Copper Queens, Zambia's national women's football team that is preparing for its World Cup debut next month in New Zealand. To find out about those preparations, Iron Mike Mbonye called Germany, where he reached Copper Queens head coach Bruce Mwape.
Yeah, it's true. We are actually in Germany preparing for the World Cup. But before we moved our camp from Zambia, before coming to Germany, we started with our local camping. Our local camping started on 2nd June up to 12. Then 13th June, that's when we moved camp to Germany. So on the 14th, we were in Germany and we started our preparation for this World Cup. And on the 22nd of June, we had an international friendly match against Ireland. And I'm sure you watched that game, which was played some few days ago.
Coach, talking about the international friendly against Ireland, there were some new faces we saw play for Zambia. Where are they from, and have they been part of your preparations for the World Cup?
The only new face which was there is the holding midfielder, Susan Banda. She played in the national team some years back, but she disappeared for a while because she went for training somewhere where she's working. So after training, she started that training, and we decided to consider for this World Cup. I'm sure that's the only new face which was there.
Have you named your final squad for the World Cup?
Not yet, but we'll be naming the team very soon. I'm sure in the next 3-4 days, we'll be able to announce the final squad.
What's the assessment of your preparations for the World Cup with less than 30 days to the kickoff?
From the time we started camping, I think we have seen that most of them are now ready. The only players that are missing are those in Kazakhstan. The four players, they finished their league games on, on 24th, if I'm not mistaken. They are yet to report here in Germany. And those are the ones who have actually delayed our announcing the final team, because we want to also consider them. Although we are not sure if they are coming with no injuries, or if they come with injuries, then we'll look for the other players that are still in camp. So once they come, I think we'll be able now to tell maybe a week or so whether we are ready or we still need some more time to prepare. But as far as I'm concerned, the 3 weeks that is remaining, we'll be able to finalize everything.
Coach, do you have any injury worries in camp as you prepare for the World Cup?
Serious injuries, but there are a few knocks here and there after playing that international friendly against the Ireland. But we still have to play another game on the 30th against Switzerland. Then our final friendly game will be against German here in German. And I'm sure, I hope that time there won't be any injuries in our team. But as for now, there is no serious injuries.
What is your message to the numerous fans of the Copper Queens in Zambia and in Africa?
The message is that they should just rely on the team, and I'm sure they've got confidence that we will do well when we get to when the tournament starts. And I can assure them that our players, they're excited, although it's the first time to qualify to the World Cup, but they've played more competitive international games, and they've gained a lot of experience. They wouldn't like to disappoint the Zambian fans and the African supporters at large.
That's Bruce Mwape, the head coach of Zambia's national women's football team, the Copper Queens. And he was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Germany. The Copper Queens will begin their World Cup campaign July 22nd when they play Japan in Hamilton, New Zealand. And then the Zambian women will play Spain and Costa Rica in Group C Women's World Cup fixtures.
Sport greetings. This is Bruce Mwape, the head coach of Zambia's national women's football team, the Copper Queens, and you are listening to the Sun Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Joining the Copper Queens as Women's World Cup debutantes are the Atlas Lionesses of Morocco, who are in Group H with Germany, Colombia, and South Korea. Africa's two other teams at the Women's World Cup are the Super Falcons of Nigeria and Banyana Banyana of South Africa. The Super Falcons have been Africa's most successful women's team, and this will be their ninth Women's World Cup appearance. The Nigerian ladies are in Group B with co-host Australia, Ireland, and Canada. And South Africa, making its second Women's World Cup appearance, is in Group G with Sweden, Italy, and Argentina. Tennis, Serbian star Novak Djokovic will be aiming for a fifth consecutive Wimbledon title and a record-extending 24th major singles trophy when the prestigious grass court tournament begins next week in England. As Djokovic continues his Wimbledon preparations, let's look back on his French Open triumph earlier this month in Paris. Who is the best ever man to wield a racket? Well, if the answer is based on major titles won, the answer is Novak Djokovic. The Serbian star won his record 23rd Grand Slam singles title at the French Open in Paris. In the process, he broke a tie with Rafael Nadal, who has 22 major championships, and who looks like he'll be sidelined the rest of the year after hip muscle surgery. Let's listen in now to some of Djokovic's post-match comments in Paris, beginning with this question from a tennis journalist.
Yeah, congratulations. How does it feel to be the greatest male player in history?
Well, thank you. I mean, I don't want to say that I am the greatest, because I feel I've said it before, it's a disrespectful towards all the great champions in different eras of our sport that was played in a completely different way than it is played today. So I feel like each great champion of his own generation has left a huge mark, a legacy, and paved the way for us to be able to play this sport in such a great stage worldwide. So I leave those kind of discussions of who is the greatest to someone else.
Novak Djokovic also paid tribute to Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer, who retired last year with 20 Grand Slam singles titles.
The truth is that I've always, you know, compared myself to these guys because those are the two greatest rivals I ever had in my career. And I've said it before, you know, many times that they have actually defined me as a player, and all the success that I have, you know, they've contributed to it in a way, you know, because of the rivalries and the matchups that we had, and countless hours of thinking and analyzing and what it takes to win against them on the biggest stage, you know, for me and my team. It was just those two guys were occupying my mind for the last 15 years quite a lot, and in a professional sense. And so, of course, it's amazing to know that I am one ahead of both of them in Grand Slams with Rafa. But at the same time, everyone writes their own history. So, you know, I still think that everyone has a unique journey that they should embrace and stick to. But of course, having the three of us with Andy, of course, as well, that we cannot forget. In the last 20 years, it's kind of reached the golden era of the men's tennis, and as people like to call it. So I'm really grateful to be part of this group of guys.
And where does this 2023 French Open trophy rank in the great career of 36-year-old Novak Djokovic?
One of the biggest ones, of course. I knew that going into the tournament, and I mean going into the match, especially today, that there's history on the line. But I try to, you know, focus my attention and my thoughts into preparing for this match in the best way possible to win like any other match. Of course, I would lie if I say that I didn't think about, you know, the finish line that is right there, and then one more match is needed to win a trophy, a historic one, of course. But my team has created a good bubble around me, so we've, you know, I think, a great job into just staying in the present moment and performing as good as we wanted to. And of course, when I saw his forehand going wide, I felt a huge relief, and I was overwhelmed with wonderful emotions. And yeah, I'm very, very happy and very proud of it.
Meanwhile, the man Novak Djokovic defeated in the French Open final, the Norwegian Casper Ruud, comments on all the records held by Djokovic.
Like I said on court, you know, he holds all the records and these stats that are just ridiculous. So just shows how complete of a player he is. He can win on any surface, anywhere, any balls that we play with. It's he will be up for the challenge. And yeah, now it's probably the most significant record that he broke of 23 slams. It's on the male side, that's the record for now. But I'm sure he will aim for even more if I know him, you know, the right way, and he's not done yet, I think.
I agree, Casper. Novak Djokovic is not done yet. I'm sure he'll be considered a big favorite for a 24th major trophy at Wimbledon, where he's won the past four men's singles titles. The 2023 Wimbledon tournament begins on July 3rd. VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter,
Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. Spain has joined other nations in calling for better conditions to be created in Syria before refugees return to their homeland. Spain took in a relatively small number of Syrian refugees, but some have accomplished big things, including Adnan Almusa Alfayermli. Despite being confined to a wheelchair, his eyes are set on winning a gold medal at the Paralympics. VOA's Miguel Amaya narrates this report from Alfonso Bito in Barcelona.
Adnan Almusa Alfayermli, now 25, was 14 years old when a stray bullet from a sniper left him unable to walk. Years later, after finding safety in Spain, he smiles and speaks enthusiastically about his dreams. Alfayermli and Sergio Martinez, a coach, met online and became teammates. Sergio called on social networks to form a team and participate in a challenging race. Adnan saw the ad and did not hesitate to write him a message. Martinez says that Alfayermli messaged him asking if he could join the team, that he was in a wheelchair, and that he very much wanted to take part in the race. Alfayermli's disability does not stop him from competing in tough races like the obstacle course, and he looks for greater challenges every time. He even raised the Syrian rebel flag at the summit of Kilimanjaro, the tallest mountain in Africa. He says he feels free and doesn't feel like a person who has lost everything, but rather like one who has gained much in life and overcome life's obstacles. All he says, thanks to sports. Alfayermli's unwavering determination to overcome challenges began after his two-year confinement in a Lebanese hospital, after he was wounded by a sniper's bullet while crossing a bridge in Homs, Syria, after leaving his house to buy bread. He describes the feeling he gets when he plays sports. He says he feels like an eagle, a bird that is free and rising to the greatest heights. Alfayermli is working toward breaking a Guinness World Record and eventually making it to the Paralympics. As he sees it, the more obstacles he overcomes along the way, the greater the glory. For Alfonso Bito in Barcelona, Miguel Amaya, VOA News.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, the leader of Russia's Wagner militia and his mercenaries marched towards Moscow last week and then retracted, claiming they never meant to overthrow the government. But some are wondering whether these are signs of cracks in Russian President Vladimir Putin's power. Also, what does the mutiny mean for African countries who aligned themselves with Putin and the Wagner Group? Join me, Heidi Adams, on Straight Talk Africa this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Now let's go to South Sudan, where two new sports facilities were recently opened, one for female boxers and the other for female football players. Juliana Shiapai reports from Juba.
South Sudan has 8 female boxers in the entire country due to parochial stereotypes associated with the game in South Sudan. Barbara Lam Palviano, a mother of four, is a representative for the female boxers in South Sudan. Palviano enrolled in a Uganda boxing club in 2013. She says the new gymnasium in Juba comes handy.
Can start inviting other country to also to come and perform in our country. So we have that strong heart now. Even me, I'm proud of myself to see other people coming in our country to perform because we have enough space for them.
Reza Atiana Abdulbagi, chairlady of the South Sudan Boxers Federation, says the facility could motivate and attract women to join boxing clubs in the capital.
Our people of Republic of South Sudan think that boxing is for male, but I believe and I wanted to assure them boxing is for both female and men. Women can do even better than men. And this facility will benefit, and it is unique, and it is one of the best.
Ademola Olajide, the representative of the United Nations Population Fund in South Sudan, says participation of women and girls in sports could lead to social or economic transformation.
So this is not a one-off. We hear you about the needs that are still there. I'm glad my colleague from UNICEF is here, and we will continue to look for ways of providing the support till that point, where these girls not only become champions in the ring, but they become champions and advocates of social change within society.
Cecilia Kamis Malesh is a female boxer and a student at the University of Juba. She says boxing gives her confidence and motivation.
I really enjoy it. Like, it's a mental game, and so I learn a lot about it. So it's also one of defending games, so let me say to protect yourself. So boxing is very important, especially for us girls. Sometimes we have to do some stuff like to bring power or to do so many things to encourage yourself up, not to give up on sometimes.
Officials from the UNFPA and the South Sudan Boxing Federation say they hope the new facility will help the female boxers to excel and attract more women to participate in the boxing across the country. Agostino Madut, chairman of the South Sudan Football Association, says the new facility will attract more women to join the country's national female soccer team, the Bright Starlets.
This facility is going to be an advantage to them because it was not a good thing for them. Sometimes they come and they change in the car. Sometimes they go to the house to go and change. It reduces also the capacity to participate effectively in the football.
Netherlands Embassy in South Sudan donated 4 containers with materials for equipping the new changing room for women athletes in South Sudan. Skippers Marjan, Netherlands ambassador to South Sudan, says her country supports women leadership.
And I think women need space. Women need space not only to flourish and to be equal, but also just physical space where they can change. It's very practical. So words will not do the trick, but it is also the practical stuff that we need. And I hope that with this, it will serve as a role model, this team, the Bright Starlets, for the rest of the girls and women in South Sudan.
The representative of the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, in South Sudan says his office noticed the gap in gender equality and social norms that continues to challenge the young girls in South Sudan. Ademola Olajide says the United Nations Population Fund is working with female soccer players to create awareness about some of the issues preventing women from active participation in sports.
Working with these young girls, first of all, for them to be able to play their sports with dignity. So we supported them with containers, changing rooms, even income-generating activities, and dignity kits. But beyond that, we are also providing them training in reproductive health, so they become advocates and champions of SRHR, sexual and reproductive health and rights, and also advocating for gender equality. So the society as a whole is able to benefit from the contributions of the men and the women.
Soga Grace is with the Munike Women's Soccer Team and a member of the Starlets for Change nonprofit. She says the new facility for women at Buluk is a great achievement in the history of sports in South Sudan.
Before, the girls used to change in the open, I mean, just in front of the fans, in front of people at the pitch, which wasn't really a good thing. But now they will be having their privacy, you know, because they now have a changing room there at Bulug. Really, we stationed these containers at Bulug is because that is where the national team, the Bright Starlets, that is where they train from. And they also have their friendly games there. And also some of the local games that happen here in Juba for girls, they also do take place there at Bulug. So we chose that because that is like the main pitch for now that can be accessed by most of these girls. So
officials from UNFPA and the South Sudan Football Association says they hope the partnership with Netherlands Embassy will boost women participation in sports and confidence building. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
Thanks, Juliana. Still with African women's football, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Tabitha Chiwenga, the first African player to win Italy's Serie A Golden Boot Award. Chiwenga tallied 23 goals and 21 matches for Inter Milan. In this encore sunny side of sports feature, Lamech Messina tells us more about Tabitha's achievements.
Hoza Malawi, viva Malawi. I'm proud of Malawi. I'm happy to be a Malawian, and the Golden Boot is coming in Malawi.
That is the voice of Malawi's international female striker, Tabitha Chiwenga, celebrating her record of becoming the first African player to win the Golden Boot Award in the Italian Serie A Women's Football League. Chiwenga made the announcement about her success on her official Facebook, which attracted excitement from Malawians, including State President Lazarus Chakwera. President Chakwera said in a statement that Chiwenga has not only made history, but also inspired countless young girls and women in Malawi and across Africa. Chiwenga told the sunny side of sports that the president's message has fueled her desire to develop her skills to the highest level.
I'm looking to be a best player in the whole world because it's not easy. The state president and the wife of president who release the message of congratulations like that. Yeah, so I'm really happy.
Chiwenga also broke another record. She's the first footballer from Malawi to play for a European team who already won similar awards elsewhere in the past. For example, she won the same award in Sweden, where she played for the third-tier side, Krokom Davassas, and scored 35 goals in 38 matches. The 26-year-old striker says it was a challenge to win the Golden Boot Award in Italy.
To win Golden Boot, it was not easy. It was a long season, but all in all, because I put my effort and God helped me, so that's why at the end I win the Golden Boot.
In Malawi, Chiwenga is the captain of the women's football club, Scorchers, and also the country's national women's football team. Adelaide Migogo is chairperson for the national women's football team in Malawi. She says Tabitha Chiwenga's achievement demonstrates the need of promoting football from the grassroots level.
You cannot train someone when she's already old, but we should start this from the grassroots. If we want to have a lot of Tabithas, if we want these women, the ones who are playing soccer now, to reach where Tabitha reached, they should work hard. When you work hard, you bear fruits, and these are the fruits that Tabitha is harvesting now.
Migogo says despite producing award-winning players like Chiwenga, lack of sponsorship is affecting the growth of women's soccer in Malawi.
We've got a very minimal sponsorship and we don't have a league. We only rely on championship, which is likely sponsored by Football Association of Malawi. But for now, we don't have a super league for women.
For the sunny side of sports, I am Lamech Messina in Blanta, Malawi.
And that wraps up the June 27th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.